don't know, man, you may have family, you don't feel like you can trust them very much, but I got a Heavenly Father this morning. You can trust Him, amen. And I tell you, He's been my shelter. He's been my friend. Shelter in the wilderness, whom shall I fear? You are the God that goes before me, my rock and my shield. In troubled times you will provide, I shall not want. You are my God. Shelter in the wilderness, whom shall I fear? You are the God that goes before me, my rock and my shield. In troubled times you will provide, I shall not want. You are my God. Shelter in the wilderness, whom shall I fear? You are the God that goes before me, my rock and my shield. In troubled times you will provide, I shall not want. You are my God.
That's wonderful, y'all. Thank you. Amen. All right, open your Bibles quickly this morning to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19. The book of 1 Kings, chapter number 19.
This morning, I want to read you a verse of Scripture. I believe it will be a help to us this morning. Pick out a verse of Scripture, the man of God here, and see what he said, and bring you a message this morning on facts for our fathers. Facts for fathers. Amen.
1 Kings.
Chapter 19. The book of 1 Kings, chapter number 19. Now I want you to look this morning at verse number 4, and see what the man of God said here. And I know that if you'll stay with me, give me attention just a minute, it will you'll get the point of the message this morning. Maybe out of context just a little bit, but I don't believe I'll be doing any damage to Scripture here to use it like this. He said, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. I am not better than my fathers. What a statement there. I was reading that one day. He said, I am not better than my fathers. Rarely does a man rise any higher than his daddy spiritually. All you men listening to me today, if daddy hits and misses, his sons will hit and miss and miss and hit. If daddy hits and misses and hits and misses, his sons will hit and miss and miss and hit and miss and miss. And their sons will miss and miss and miss and hit and miss, and it gets worse every generation. Rarely does a young man go any higher spiritually than his daddy. All of us have heard the old saying, he's a chip off the old block and stuff like that. Just about every time a young man will be about like his dad, unless God does something for him. The older I get, the more I can see and know parts of my dad's traits that are in me. You can't help it. They're just there. You're born with it. And so this morning, I want us to think about it. And you give me your attention just for a minute. And I want to say just a few things about it. And I want to say, first of all, this morning, that when you have a father, you have a treasure. You have a father in heaven that's the greatest. And then you have your earthly father that God gives you as a type of your heavenly father, which is in heaven. Now, God is our father. The preacher is not our father. The priest is not your father. We're not supposed to say, our preacher which art in heaven. We're not supposed to say, our priest which art in heaven, but our father which art in heaven. That's a picture of our earthly father. And the earthly father has authority over a child as they're growing up. And then as they grow older, that authority transfers to the heavenly father. Many people have a hard time submitting themselves to God because they never had a father in the home to represent the place of God. And I want to say three things about it this morning, four. And the first thing I want to say is that fathers are friends. Your father could be, and under normal circumstances, is your best friend. Most young men's best friend. Most of the time, when a young man gets married, a lot of time he'll have his dad as his best man in his wedding. And the reason he does that is because his daddy is his friend. I have no doubt in my mind that when my daddy was alive, that he was the best friend I had here. There's no doubt in my mind. I know little things that he did and for me. And when I didn't deserve it. I remember daddy buying me stuff when he couldn't afford it. They had these little old Yamaha motorcycles uptown. Somebody had them for sale. And there was like a little Yamaha 50 or something like that. And I wanted one of them things so bad I couldn't stand it. And my daddy, somehow or another, scrounged around. He'd sell a dog or trade something. And he bought me one of them little things. I rode that thing up and down Hoppy Tom Holler, or I run the wheels off of it. I rode that thing and rode it and rode it. I remember I wanted a guitar when I was about 11 years old. I wanted a guitar. And daddy, somehow or another, as a man up the road had one, he traded him a shotgun or something and got me a little, get me down here, brother, a little guitar and an amplifier. I'll never forget it. I wore the skin off my fingers trying to learn how. Somebody showed me the chords, C, D, E, F, G, oh yeah, and I twisted my hands and I beat that thing and I played and I learned how to play it. And I never forget, daddy did that. He didn't have a lot of extra money. We didn't have a lot when he was growing up. Mom stayed home with us and it was only him working. He paid the bills. Daddy didn't have anybody to help him. He didn't have anybody. Nobody ever gave my daddy nothing. He worked for everything he had. He came down here from West Virginia and Kentucky, where my mom met him. And my mom went up north and met daddy when he was he's telling jokes in a bar. That's when she met him. That's what he was doing, getting paid for it. And she married him, And she is awful up there. And she didn't know where he's at, what he's doing. She brought my oldest sister, Sandy, who was just about a few months old, and came back to North Carolina. And she said, I thought I'd never see him again. I figured I'd never lay eyes on him again. And in a few days, he showed up with a pickup truck and everything they had on that truck and stayed down here and made a living and bought that house up there. And Daddy bought that house with 25 acres of land and paid $6,000 for it. House and 25 acres. Don't that just make you sick? But he sure did. 25 acres of prime land in Hoppetum Heights, the rich section of Nebo. And buddy, I tell you something, brother. Listen, he did it, and he worked hard and paid for it on his own. Nobody helped him. Nobody. He didn't have no inheritance. He never inherited nothing. As a matter of fact, Mom said it used to break her heart because she'd see him. He'd walk to work in the snow, and some of her neighbors just pass him up in a car, and Daddy'd be walking. Mom said that used to hurt her so bad. But he worked hard, and he did it for us. He was my friend. I'll never forget him buying me stuff like a bicycle, a dog, or a shotgun. He bought me my first rifle when I was about 5 years old. I'll never forget that. It was a little German rifle, about that long, .22 rifle, and it was one you cocked it like this, put it up like that, pull it back, and put the bullet in it, put it down like that. And I loved that. You're going to think I'm awful. I was about 5 or 6, and I slept with that thing. You know, like a little kid will sleep with a teddy bear? I slept with a rifle. Boy, it's hard when your nose and teeth are on that barrel when you wake up. It hurts. And I would go to sleep with it, and I'd wake up, and it'd be gone. But Mom would come in and get it away from me when I went to sleep. I remember doing that. But I know that my dad was my friend. Somebody said this, only a dad, but he gives his all to smooth the way for his children small. Working with courage, stern and grim, the deeds his father had done for him. This is the line for him I pen. He's only a dad, but he's my best friend. You may be here this morning, you say, Brother Danny, I never had that kind of relationship with my dad. I never saw my dad, and my heart goes out to you. But you know, somebody may have played that role in your life. Maybe it's an uncle. Maybe it's a stepdad. Maybe it was somebody. My dad wasn't saved, and my daddy was lost, and he didn't know how to raise kids or treat a wife or nothing. But he was there. I knew he'd fight for me. I knew he'd kill for me if he had to. I knew my dad was my friend. Amen? He sure did. I remember Daddy teaching me how to swim. How many of y'all, your daddy taught you how to swim? I see a lot of people. Daddy taught, he took us over to Lake James. That's the only place we'd go swimming. And when we'd go over there, when we was little, there's a little old cove over there. And we'd go down, it seemed like them old red mud banks. We'd go down into that lake, and Lord have mercy. And Daddy'd take me out there, and you know, when somebody like your mom trying to teach you how to swim, they'll hold your belly and say, now move your feet. Now move your feet, baby. Now move your feet. Move. That ain't the way Daddy teaches you how to swim. I mean, especially if he's from West Virginia. I say, now, do you want to die today? No. Well, swim. And pick you up, throw you in the water. You swim. And you know, really, they're not going to let you drown, but you think they are, don't you? You say, give me, get me. And you think they're going to get you. They just make you think they're not going to get you. And I remember trying to kick my feet, and I'd kick my feet, and I wasn't going nowhere. I said, it ain't working for me. They said, well, you got to do them like this. I said, it don't work. I'm going down. I'm sinking. And I was doing like this and everything. But I finally learned how to swim over at Lake James. And I remember there was a little cove that we'd go swimming in, and it would go back in one of them little holes about as far as near the door over there. And finally, Daddy said, now you swim to that side over there. And it was deep. Lord, I didn't know if it was snakes or turtles or whatever's in there. And he said, now you think you can swim over there? And I said, I think I can. So he went over there on that side, and they turned me loose on this side, and I found I was dog paddling. And I finally going like that, and I swam. And Daddy said he swum. That's what he said, swum. He swum across the English Channel. I'll never forget that. I mean, he didn't have money to spend on us. He didn't have a lot of things to do with it, but he was my friend. And you know what? If you'll think back, your daddy's like that. Your dad, he might have been a drunk. He might have been a mean person. But there were times when you know that daddy was there. I want to be that way for my girls this morning. Like I said, I only got one here this morning. Raise your hand, huh? That higher. And she's the only one here this morning. And her other two sisters have been led astray by wicked husbands. And brother, I tell you something, brother. Listen, I want my girls to know it and say, daddy was my friend from down just a hair, Brother Mike. And I'm going to tell you something this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Our fathers are our friends. Let me say secondly this morning, listen, men. Fathers are followed. Fathers are followed. Whether you want to admit it or not, whether you know it or not, that little boy is following your footsteps. We all remember it. I remember when I couldn't have been more than six because we moved from Clinchfield to Nebo when I just turned six, and it was in Clinchfield. And daddy was mowing the grass. And I remember he's pushing that lawnmower all the way this way, all the way that way, all the way that way. And I remember getting behind him and walking, and I would step where he would step and put my feet. It was like this when I was little. I had to do like, and I remember putting my feet. I don't know why I done that. Why does a boy do that? Why does a boy just want to be like his daddy? Here's where it starts getting scary, men. Because your son, whether you realize it or not, he's picking up your values. He's picking up your philosophy. He's picking up your smart attitude. He's picking up your lack of faith. He's picking up your dedication or lack thereof. He's picking it up. You are teaching him. He's following you. I know boys that don't even like their daddy and act just like him. Say amen. I know boys that say, I don't even want to ever see my daddy again. And they're just like him. Fathers are followed. Fathers are followed. You hear me this morning? I remember. Daddy took me squirrel hunting. I'll never forget. We'd go squirrel hunting. And I remember I couldn't see the squirrel. I had my gun and everything. I was going to shoot one. And I couldn't see the stupid things. I said, I don't see no squirrel. He said, no, you got to be quiet. And you know what we'd wind up doing? We'd wind up going through the woods at 6 o'clock in the morning when it was just getting daylight. And I had my gun. It felt like it weighed a ton. And I was walking, trying to keep up with it. And the dog took off up there somewhere. And he would go by. You know how when you're walking in the woods and it's been raining all night and somebody walks in front of you and they do this. And then the limb just comes back and hits you. I got all the limbs and blackberry briars and everything right in the face. And water falling tree. And then about that time he'd say, now, be real still. It's up there. I said, I don't see it. It's up there. And he said, stay right here. He said, now when I tell you to, shake that bush like that right there. Because a squirrel gets up on a tree and you know it goes around like that. How many of y'all ever been squirrel hunting? Amen. Mom always fixed squirrel brains and you know and squirrel and dumplings. And it tastes like chicken, like everything else. Tastes like chicken. It don't matter what alligator, snake, it tastes like chicken. But anyway, the squirrel, he'd slide around that tree like that. So he would go over there, I'd go over here, and he'd say, all right, shake it. And I'd just shake the bush, and water would fall on my head and everything. I'd say, what? This ain't a bit of fun. I don't see a squirrel. I'm out here shaking the bush, water's falling on me. About that time, I'd hear his rifle, pow! And squirrel fall out, and there'd be laying there dead. And I didn't even know where, I never even know where it come from. And so I finally got big enough to go squirrel hunting by myself, and I liked it a lot better like that. We would just sit up there and wait on one to run out and then shoot at him. But I'm going to tell you something one time. I'm going to preach a sermon one day on all these lucky shots that I've made in my life. The Lord's let me make some lucky shots. One time Daddy is sitting out in the front yard. And sometimes he'd work all day, and he'd sit out there in the front yard and admire the Ponderosa and the Hoppetum Heights. And he'd sit out there in the front yard one day like that, and there was a snake come across the driveway, and he bought me a bow and arrow. And there was a snake crossing the driveway about as far as I'm here, farther than the back door back there. And I heard somebody holler, snake! And I come around the back side of the house like this with my bow and arrow. And they said, there's a snake crossing the driveway about as far as I'm here, the back door. And I come around there and went, pow! And nailed that snake. You ain't gonna believe it. That arrow went right through that snake. I said, I got him! Woo! That was the best shot I'd ever made. And that thing crawled out down in the weeds with the arrow stuck through it.
And I went down there and he got loose this blood on my arrow. But I was a proud young man. I said, man, now I beat William Tell, brother, whoever that guy is. Robin Hood or somebody. But he taught me how to shoot that bow and arrow. Taught me how to shoot a rifle. I made some lucky shots with it too. Shooting lizards off the side of a tree. Shooting mole. I mean, all these boys know how to do now is move their thumbs. We learned how to shoot a gun, a real gun. Amen. And y'all too now. That's right. Amen. I think that's like you cross-eyed doing that all day. But you listen to me. My daddy was followed, and yours are too. Nebuchadnezzar was followed by his son Belshazzar. You better take them kids to church, young man. You better take them kids to church, daddy. You better take that boy to the house of God. Hey, all you daddies up here a minute ago, you better let that boy see you read the Bible, because he won't read it when he grows up. You better let that boy see you on your knees, because he won't do it when he grows up. You better let that kid see you pray, because he won't do it. You'll cry one day. I've had people say, Brother Danny, pray for my son. He won't go to church. And it all goes back to where they wouldn't go to church and set the example for their son. Fathers are followed. Years ago, I read of this story, and this guy's on an old, bad, cold, snowy day, and this guy's sitting in a bar, and he's sitting there, and he's all drinking, coming up, and all of a sudden, he felt something pull on him like that, and he looked down, and there was his little boy. He said, what are you doing in here? You ain't got no business in a place like that. He said, Daddy, I followed your footprints in the snow. And that boy followed his daddy's steps to that bar. You know why? You know why your kid won't go to church? Because you won't go to church. You know why your kid cusses? Because you cuss. You know why? You know why that your child wants to rebel? Because you want to rebel. You say, well, Brother Danny, you can't. Fathers are followed. Fathers are followed. Amen. I heard about a young man one time. He's on Sunday morning, and his little boy's playing around. He said, put that down and get ready to go to church. Get on our Sunday school. He said, Daddy, did you go to Sunday school when you was little? He said, yes, I did. Now get ready and go. Well, he said, I bet it won't do me no good neither. And you know what he was saying? Kid come in one morning, come to Sunday school class, and she said, good to see you here, honey. I know it's vacation weather like it is now, vacation time. And he said, I'm here. He said, teacher, I was wanting to go fishing, but I come to church today. Daddy told me I had to come to church today. She said, well, that is so good. I'm proud of you. And I'm proud of your daddy for bringing you to church today instead of going fishing. He said, oh, no. He said, there wasn't but two seats in the boat. And him and that man went, and he told me I had to come to church. Amen. That's a bad example for a young man. It's a bad example. The old saying, let me just say this and be done with it and we'll move on. It's a bad example to say, don't do as I do as I say do. Now I do this, but if I ever catch you doing it, I'll beat you. Now I do this, but if I ever catch you doing it, I'll whip you. It's a bad example to say, don't do. Sit and say, boys, you can follow me. Do like I do. Fathers are followed. Somebody said, his little arms crept around my neck. And then I heard him say, four simple words I can't forget. Four words that made me pray. They turned a mirror on my soul. On secrets no one knew. They startle me. I can hear them yet. He said, I'll be like you. I'll be like you. One man said, I'm not a model father. But he said, I just try to live so that when people tell my son that they remind him of his daddy, that he'll stick out his chest and not his tongue. Amen. Amen. Fathers are followed. And what America needs this morning and what churches need this morning is some men. Some men. Girls, don't marry a man that's so weak that you have to drag him to church and fuss at him read his Bible. Listen, we need some men that'll say, I'm the man of the house. We're getting up to going to church on the house of God on Sunday morning. It doesn't matter if the weather's pretty. It doesn't matter if it's rain, sunshine, snow. We'll be there. We'll honor God and do what's right. We're going to serve the Lord in this home. Well, that's what we need in this country. We're living in a time when the women have to drag the men into the house of God. Fathers are followed. But I want to say this, and I'm through this morning. You listening? I said, number one, fathers are friends. I said, number two, fathers are followed. But listen to this. Some of you probably never thought of this before. Fathers are forever. Fathers are forever. Did you know you don't cease being a father when you die or your kids die? And you know I can prove that by Scripture. Some people get the idea that, like, when we die, all this family stuff is over with. And we're all going to be the same in heaven. Now, we are all going to be like Jesus when we get to heaven. But I'm going to tell you, you'll never cease being a father. It's forever. You want me to prove it? When the rich man died and Lazarus died, them guys was in hell praying. They was in hell praying. Send somebody to my father's house and tell my brothers about this place. He still considered that man his father, and he was in eternity. I will still know my daddy as my daddy when I get to heaven. We'll know as we are known. I know we'll have new bodies, and I understand all that, but in a sense, we'll never cease being family. I'll know my girls. My girls there this morning, I'll know them forever and ever. You are a father forever. You will never cease to be a father. You say, well, I got them all grown now. Let me tell you something. You're still their father. You say, if you don't believe us, ask my girls, am I still a father? I fuss at them when I see them do something they shouldn't do. I send them texts. Carrie sent me one this morning and said, I miss my text that I get every Sunday morning. They all sent me a Happy Father's Day text this morning. I said, whatever. Except for her. And she's going to be nice and take me to eat. And she gets a prize. And she's going to get something really special. But the other two, they can jump the lake. Amen? Gone on Father's Day. The disrespect of that is the height of depravity of the human heart. I'm telling you something, brother. Listen, you can tell that's getting to me. You can tell it's bothering me, can't you? I've never been away from my kids on Father's Day. It's ridiculous. Fathers are forever. Fathers are forever. I heard about a man whose judge sentenced his son. Listen to this. And they said, will the defendant please rise? And the father stood back there in the courtroom as the judge sentenced his son to prison. Man, that'd be rough. And you know what he's saying? He's saying, I don't care if you're sending him to prison. He's still my son and I'm still his daddy. And oh, how sad it would be to stand at the great white throne judgment one of these days and hear God pronounce your son will go to hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Wouldn't that be awful? Sentence him to the lake of fire while you stand there. Fathers, that thing's forever. I think some of you men might need to get your priorities straightened out a little bit. Look, I'm glad you work and make a living and all that. That's wonderful. But you better get your priority that your child knows God. I want my girls to know God. I've not been able to give them everything they want. But I tell you one thing, they know I love them. They know I believe in God and they know I got something to pass on to them. I got Father's Day cards from all of them the other night. I don't ever read you the cards because they're here. But I'm going to read this one from Carrie that she gave me the other night. They took me out Wednesday night and brought me gifts because I had to preach. I've had to preach every night since Wednesday before last. Today makes 13 times in 12 days and tonight will make 14 times in 12 days. So she called me the other day. She said, Daddy, do you have to preach Tuesday night? Yes. She said, do you have to preach? She said, yes. She said, when are you not going to preach? I said, what do you want? She said, I've been dreading telling you that we're going to be gone. So we went Wednesday night after church, and she gave me this card. And I want to read it to you. She'll probably kill me for reading this to you, but I'm going to read it. That's what she gets for not being here. It says, Happy Father's Day early. I hate to think about this Father's Day, because for the first time ever on Father's Day, I will not see you. Go eat with you and see you stand so proud in church because we are there. Seriously, it makes me almost cry, whatever, to think about it. You know that if I could be there, I would. Whatever. I hate so bad that this falls on this weekend. It will be on vacation. But you know in my heart, I am there. I am always so proud on Father's Day, especially because there's so many people that would love to stand and say that you are their dad. I count it an honor to be one of the famous Castle Girls. You mean more and more to me every year, Dad. Things I've heard you say all my life. Now here's what I want you to get, men. Things I've heard you say all my life as I get older, I really do realize how true they are. I've been blessed to have been raised by you. I want to raise my kids to have the same love and respect for me as I do you. Thank you for everything, Daddy. I'm sorry I won't be there Sunday, and I love you. Happy Father's Day. You hear what she said? She said, I want to raise my kids. You see, you being a daddy don't just stop when you get your kid to junior high. They're going to be raising their kids one of these days. And they're going to raise their kids like you raise them. Or worse, unless God does something for them. Fathers are forever. And the curse of our generation is that we've got generation after generation after generation that gets farther and farther away from God every generation. And may God help us, men. May God help us to stand up and be men today. I don't know about you, why they come. I don't know about you, but I'd like to be the first father on this altar this morning and say, God, I want you to help me. It's easy to get selfish. It's easy to just do things to please yourself. But you got that little boy or that little girl or that older boy or older girl looking at you every move you make. And may God help us this morning, daddies. May God help us. Let's stand, bow our heads for prayer. Every father here this morning while she plays softly. Every daddy here this morning. It's not just enough. Say, well, I work and put food on the table. That's my job.